Bibles this morning, and I want you to find the book of 1 Peter. It's towards the back of your Bible as you're heading back towards the back end of your Bible there, towards Revelation. Of course, is the last book, but it's before that. It's 1 Peter chapter number 5. In the past few weeks, we've been looking at the issue of faith in the Bible. And it's very crucial that every believer be growing in their faith and be becoming stronger in their faith. Very important. It's very crucial. Why? Well, because trials and problems are a part, it says in your handout, of life. Trials and problems are a part of life. You will never successfully avoid them. You never will. As long as you live on the earth, you're going to encounter problems and heartaches and trials. There will be situations that you feel like just literally rip your heart out or take your heart like a sponge and just do this to it. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You'll never successfully be able to avoid problems. It's just not going to happen. But it says in your handout, you do have a choice as to how you will respond to trials. Now that you do control. That you can control. How you're going to respond to the trial. You know, a lot of times trials come into our life and sometimes it's just stupid blockhead things that we do, and we get ourselves in situations and we get ourselves into problems, and you know, we make bad decisions, and then because of the bad decisions we make, we end up in a problem, a trial, some sort of difficulty. But then there's other times in life when really it's out of our control. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, I'll never forget, I came to work one morning several years ago, and I'm just thinking it's a normal day. Man, I'm sitting there studying and trying to do some things, you know, and I'm in my office, and all of a sudden I get a phone call. It's your brother. I'm like, huh, that's odd. That's a weird time for him to be calling. I pick up the phone, and it's one of my brothers. And he's like, Dan, you need to get up here right away. Dad's had a massive heart attack. He's in a coma. It doesn't look like he's going to make it. Well, you know, there's nothing I could do to avoid that day. There was nothing I could have done to change that circumstance. It was out of my control. You know, and I woke up that morning never dreaming that I was going to face that situation. Never dreamed I'd be loading up my family and hightailing it, you know, to Missouri to find my dad in a coma, of which he would not come out and end up dying 2 days later. I didn't know that was going to happen. There's no way. And so, you know, certain things happen in life that you can't control. I mean, if you go out here on the road on the way home from church, I mean, isn't driving an act of faith? I mean, you know, I mean, it really is. To me, 16 is too young to be giving out licenses. I don't know. 16 years old. But, you know, you go out here on the way home and somebody, you know, plows into you in the back of your car at a stoplight. You have no control over that. So there's certain trials that come into our life that we're kind of unprepared for, in a sense that we didn't see it coming. It just, poof, it was a curveball, man. I mean, it just blindsided us, boom, like that, you know. And it just, we're unprepared for it because we just didn't expect it. Now, when my father passed away and when that trial happened, although I couldn't control the trial, I could control how I would respond during the trial. And that's what I want you to see. Your response to trials is very important because that's something that you can control. When you respond right during trials, when you respond right, that's evidence that your faith is growing. Okay? You know, trials don't have the ability to grow your faith. That's kind of a misnomer. That's something that people sometimes get in their mind, but it's not really true. Trials really can't grow your faith. Your faith only grows as you respond in faith to God's Word. Your faith responds as you get God's Word inside of you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The way my faith grows is I get into that book, I get my nose in this book, I study it, I read it, I hear it preached, and I take it in, I digest it, I assimilate it, and that's how my faith is going to grow. Trials cannot in and of themselves make my faith grow. Okay, here's what trials do. Trials reveal your faith. Trials will show where your faith level is. Trials will reveal whether you have a strong faith or a weak faith. So while trials can't grow my faith, they reveal my faith and they show where I'm at in my walk with Christ. You see, when I respond wrong during trials, That's evidence that my faith is weak and that I got some work to do, you know, and that I've got some growing to do. So what is the right response? When problems come into our life and cares come into our life, what's the right response to our cares and our worries and our burdens that come in life? I want you to look at 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Here's the right response, okay? This is the faith response when cares come into our life. This is the faith response. It says in 1 Peter 5, 7, let's all read it together. Read it with me. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now that word casting means to throw upon. So God says, take your cares and throw them on me. Throw them on me. It's kind of like, listen to this. If I've got a stick of furniture, Denise has bought some furniture, and I'm carrying this thing in the house, and I got this stick of furniture up here on my shoulders, and man, this thing's heavy, and it's weighting me down, and so forth. What's the key to me getting relief from that physical load? What's the key? Yeah, let it go. Release it. Throw it down. Well, now, Denise doesn't want me to throw it down, all right? But I need to release it. That's the key to gaining the... Now, hopefully, I'm going to release it where it's supposed to go, right? Because, you know, if I don't release it where it's supposed to go, what am I going to end up doing? I'm going to end up picking it up again. In the spiritual realm, it's the same way. If you're carrying a heavy load of cares and burdens and problems, the key is you got to release it. You got to let it go. You got to release it where it's supposed to go. Well, where am I supposed to release my cares? Look at the verse. Verse 7 again. Casting all your care upon Him. Who is the Him? It's God. Yes, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to take my cares and cast them upon Him. I need to take those burdens and release them where they're supposed to go. And that's to God. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of like this. If Denise says, okay, Dan, I want you to take this furniture. I bought this furniture. I want you to take it to the house. So I pick it up, put it on my shoulder, start carrying this thing in. You ever had this happen, guys? You're carrying in. You've got this heavy load your wife has you carrying. And you come in the house and you put it down where you think it logically ought to go. And then she says to you, that's not where it's supposed to go. So what do you have to do? You have to what? It looks great there. She says, no, it doesn't. Move it. Well, it's the same way in the Christian life. When you unload your cares any other place than God, you end up unloading in all the wrong places. You end up unloading on your wife. You got all these cares and all these problems at work, and you just unload on her. Or you end up unloading on your kids. You end up unloading on your coworkers. You end up unloading on your neighbors. Listen. When you don't release your cares in the right place, which is to God, you end up unloading in all the wrong places. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to Him in prayer. As a Christian, you must learn to cast your cares upon God. And when you begin to do that, you begin to obey God in this matter, and you become what I call a casting Christian, you will find that your faith will start increasing and it will start growing. And this text is going to explain why it is so crucial that we become casting Christians. Number one in your handout, let me give you the first principle from this text. Number one, a casting Christian exhibits a lack of pride. That's the first reason why it's so important that you become a casting Christian. It exhibits a lack of pride. Now look up here and I want you to think about this with me, okay? When you take your cares and you cast them at the feet of Jesus, what you are in essence saying is you're saying, Jesus, this problem is too big for me. It's too big for my wife. It's too big for my husband. It's too big for Pastor Dan. It's too big for my life group leader. Jesus, I need You. And you know what that is? That's humility. Humility. You know why? Because you're admitting you can't do something. Pride says, I can handle this on my own. Pride says, I can deal with it. I don't need any help. I don't need any assistance. I don't need anybody. I can deal with this myself. I'll man up and I'll handle this. But I want you to look at verse 5 and look what the Bible says. And I want you to get the context here of verse 7. He says in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you see how those verses go boom, 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 hand in hand? He says, look, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Well, how do I do it? Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The way I humble myself is by taking my cares and casting them upon him. I love that expression in verse number 5. Look about in the middle part of that verse, verse number 5. He says, and be clothed with humility. I like that. Be clothed with humility. It's kind of like if in the morning, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you get a shower, you clean up, you shampoo your hair, and you get yourself all fixed up, and you get yourself all ready and cleaned up, and then what are you going to do? Are you going to go out the door? Are you going to go out the front door and go to work naked? No, I hope not. If so, we need to, you know, find out where you work and get some things straightened out here. But yeah, you're not going to get in the car and go to work naked. What are you going to do? You're going to put some clothes on, we hope. So, you know what? You'd never dream. Now listen, some of you in here, you'd never dream of leaving the house naked. Okay? But listen to this. Now get the principle. When you start your day, and you get up and you start doing whatever it is you got to do, go to work, go to the grocery store, start dealing with the kids, whatever it is. When you get up and you start your day without humbling yourself before God and clothing yourself with humility, you are starting your day and you are going forth in your day spiritually naked. Amen. Spiritually naked. When you don't clothe yourself with humility. Each morning when you get up and you face a new day, you should one by one take the cares and the concerns of yesterday, the cares and concerns that you anticipate for the day, and you need to come before God. You need to acknowledge your total dependence upon Him and say, God, I can't face this day without You. That's humbling yourself. One of the things that I pray constantly, this is one of my constant prayers. In the morning when I get up and I have my prayer time, whether it's in here, sometimes I'll walk around in here in the morning, or whether it's walking around outside on the sidewalks, or whether it's in my office, one of the things that I constantly pray is I say, Lord, as I face this day and I look at our church family and I look at the situations that exist within our church family and just the different things, I mean, that are going on in people's lives, and one of the things I pray is I say, Lord, I cannot pastor Crossroads. I need You to pastor it through me. I need You to pastor this church through me because I can't do it. And you know what God does? When we humble ourselves that way, do you know what God does? He makes two great promises. What does the end of verse number 5 say? What does the end of verse 5 say? What does He give to the humble? Write that in your handout. First thing He gives you is grace. The first promise God makes to the humble is He said He giveth grace. He giveth grace. Now, look at the next verse there. Look at verse 6. And notice what it says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may what? Exalt you. I want you to write the next thing in. He promises exaltation to those who humble themselves. That word exalt means to lift up. And notice, though, God says, if you humble yourself, I'm going to lift you up. But what? When does he say he's going to do it? Look at the end of verse 6. He says he's going to do it in what? That word due time means in the proper time. God's timing is not ours. Now, what does God promise the worrier? It says in your handout, absolutely nothing. There are no those of you who are worrywarts, I'm sorry, there's no promises to you. There's no promises to the worrywart. When my boys were growing up, and they're 19, 12, and 10, they're not little anymore, but when they were little and they were toddlers and they were 3, 4, 5 years old, I can remember sometimes they get one of them helium balloons that, you know, whoo, they go up to the top of the ceiling, you know, and they'd bring that thing home and they'd want to play with it, but the only problem was there'd be a string coming from it and they'd be doing this. And the string would be just about that far, you know, too much. And they'd reach up. And I'm sitting in the room. I'm reading my Bible or reading the paper. And I'm just kind of watching out of the corner of my eye. And you know, and they're just trying to get as much as they can. They can't quite get it. And what's hilarious, I've seen my kids do this. You know what they do? They get on the closest stick of furniture to that balloon. And they get up on the furniture and they jump. Whoom! Sorry to wake you up, man. I'm sorry. Just kidding. So they jump off that furniture and they can't get it. They still come up short. So I'm watching out of the corner of my eye. All of a sudden, they leave the room. I'm thinking, good, that's over with. They come back in. They got a stuffed animal. Boom! They're throwing a toy or something at it. Doesn't come down. That doesn't work. So then finally, you know what they do? They come over to me. Daddy, yes, son, will you get my balloon down for me? And Daddy gets up and goes over, gets the balloon down, says, here you go. What problem are you dealing with today? Did you know that's what God desires for you to do? Father, I can't handle this. I need you. Paul said in Philippians 4, what did he say? He said, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, when we go to the Lord and we take our cares and we tell Him about them and we say, Lord, these are too big for me, I'm casting them on You, that demonstrates a lack of pride. But there's a second reason why it's very important that you become a casting Christian. Number two, if you'll turn your handout over, the second principle is this. A casting Christian is actively resisting Satan. I want you to look down with me. Right after he says, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you, what does God say in verse 8? I want you to look at the verse. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary... Hey, Christian, who's your adversary? The devil. As a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Is there a literal devil according to the Bible? Yes. Satan would love for you to think he's fictitious. That'd play right into his hands. But according to the Bible, according to Jesus Christ, according to Paul, according to Peter here, according to John, according to the writers of the Bible, the devil is a real, literal being. And the Bible says he's as a lion and he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And the word devour there means to drink down, to gulp entire. How many of you all ever go to 7-Eleven and get a big gulp? Satan wants to big gulp you. Now, what do you think, it says in your handout, what do you think is one of Satan's most strategic weapons that he uses to devour people? And here it is. You ready? I'm going to bring it up on the screen, please. Worry, which leads to discouragement. That's one of Satan's most strategic weapons. Worry, which leads to discouragement. I wonder if you can relate to that this morning. You see, Satan deceives us into thinking that we have to carry all of our cares. We have to carry all of our burdens on our own shoulders. But what does the Bible say, church? Look at verse 7. What does it say? Casting, does it say some of your care? No, A-double-L, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So I've got a clear choice according to that verse. I can either have my cares or his caring. And if I've got one care resting on my shoulders, it's not because I don't have a God who's willing to shoulder them for me. And it's kind of interesting. That word careth means to be of interest, to be of concern. For he careth for you, to be of interest, to be of concern. Have you ever tried to bare your heart to somebody? And you're just kind of sharing your heart with them? I got this problem that I'm dealing with. And you're sharing your heart with them. And when you have just a little break, you know, and you come up for breath, you tell them about the problem. And then they're like, oh, wow, that's too bad. Hey, did you see that football game last night? You're like, yeah, they don't care. They're not concerned. They're not interested. Can I share some good news with you? God cares. God is interested. God is concerned. He careth for you. He careth for you. So how am I to respond to the devil? Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. How am I to respond to the devil according to verse 9? Whom, and what's the next word? Resist. I resist the devil. I resist him steadfast in the faith. That word, it says in your handout, the word resist means to stand against, to oppose. I can't just let the devil just walk all over me. I can't let him defeat me with worry and discouragement. I've got to stand against him. I've got to oppose him. Paul taught the same thing in Ephesians 6:11. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The idea of resist is to stand. I can't just drown in my cares. I can't just let Satan drown me in my problems and discouragements of life. I've got to proactively decide, no, I'm going to stand. And when I take my cares and I cast them at the feet of Jesus, I am actively resisting Satan. How many ever played the game hot potato? You ever play that? And you got this hot potato, the idea of it. And the idea is you got this hot potato, and boom, you're going to throw it to somebody else. And then, boom, they throw it to somebody else. You ever feel like you're playing hot potato? You got this situation that's a hot potato. And you ever feel like you're playing hot potato with the devil? You try to get rid of it, not worry about it. And boy, Satan just seems to throw it right back in your lap again. You know how you win that game? You take that hot potato and you cast it at God's feet. Because aren't you glad God won't throw it back in your lap? He'll take it and he'll shoulder it. And he'll provide you the strength, the wisdom that you need. You see, a casting Christian, it's very important for our faith because it when I learned to cast my cares upon him, and I tell you, this principle really sunk into me when I was pretty young in the Lord. I was pretty young. I was naive, and I was very young in the Lord, and I was a discouraged puppy a few years after I got saved. And I'd had some disappointments and some problems and some things, and I was kind of disillusioned, and I was really and boy, I tell you, that verse right there just hit me like a ton of bricks. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I thought, man, I need to become a casting Christian. I've got to learn to take these things and cast them upon him. And it made all the difference in the world in my life. In your handout, the last thing I want to share with you is this. A casting Christian demonstrates total trust in God. Total trust in God. There's a verse that I've been using and quoting, I guess, for the last, should say. There's a verse I've been quoting the last two Sundays as we've been talking about growing our faith. And that verse is Hebrews 11:6. Remember what it is? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now what did the verse say? Without faith, it's what? Possible to please God. In your handout, it says, it is so pleasing to God when he sees the heart of his children fully trusting in him. It is so pleasing to God when he sees the heart of his children fully trusting in him. And why shouldn't we trust our God? Look down at verse 10. Oh, I love this. Why shouldn't I trust my God? Look at verse 10. But the God of all grace. I love that expression. The God of all grace who hath, notice this, who hath called us unto His eternal, what? Glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Whew. You know what that tells me right there? God has an eternal plan and purpose for our lives. In fact, Paul taught that we've already been seated in heavenly places in Christ, that we're God's workmanship, and that His purpose for our life extends into the eternal ages to come. So if He's the God of all grace, and if He's called me unto His eternal glory, which He has, and He's got an eternal plan and purpose for my life, then that means if you're saved, if you're a child of God, if you know Jesus, if you've personally trusted Him, then you know what? You can trust your Heavenly Father. And even in the trials of life, even in the trials of life, it says in your handout there, Paul said that God's working in them so that they will produce a far more eternal weight of glory. And I'm gonna read those verses with you here in a second at the bottom of your handout. But before we do, look up here and I want to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. Are you saved today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you do, I want you to understand, once you enter into a relationship with Christ, you can now lean upon Him. You can trust Him in every situation that life brings your way. You can become a casting Christian. Because even in the problems of life, look at the verse now and look what Paul said God's doing, even in the problems of life. Look at it. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and then look at this, worketh. That word worketh means to accomplish. It's working, it's accomplishing. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. It's accomplishing for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you imagine if I got up in the middle of the night and I hear something in the living room? And I go into the living room, and there I see my 10-year-old son, Caleb. And he's just a-pacing the floor like this. And he's wringing his hands. And he's just a-pacing. And he's biting his nails. And he's wringing his hands. And he's just worried. And I come to him, and I say, Caleb, man, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, man. What are you doing pacing the floor? And he looks at me, and he says, Dad, I'm worried. And I said, well, what are you worried about, son? I'm just worried that we're not going to have any food to eat tomorrow. Now, if my son was up in the middle of the night wringing his hands because he didn't know if he was going to get to eat tomorrow, how would that make me feel? About that big. I wonder what God thinks about us when here we are, His children. He's our Heavenly Father, and we're wringing our hands. We're pacing the floor. We're worrying ourselves sick like we don't even have a Heavenly Father. Do you see why this is such an important issue? When I learn to cast my cares upon Him, I'm demonstrating a lack of pride, I'm actively resisting Satan, and I'm showing that I trust God. What's the verse? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's an old hymn that I don't know that we've sung for a long, long time here. And I don't know why. It's a great hymn. And it's called, I Must Tell Jesus. And what I'd like to do is ask the musicians to come. And would you guys help me finish my message today? Would y'all help me? Let's do this. Let's stand to our feet. And I want you to help me finish my message with a very powerful song. And if you don't know the song, listen to the words and let it minister to you. Let's sing it together. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Isn't that a great song? It's a good old song. Let's do this. Let's go back to that verse again. And if you didn't catch the words, catch them this time. And I want you to listen closely. Let's sing it one more time. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Boy, you guys sound great.